So I'm genuinely, supremely grateful that you are here on Christmas Eve. I sincerely hope and I pray that tomorrow morning you will spend your Christmas day in your happy place with the people that you love the most and with the place, being in the place that you love the most. But have you ever spent Christmas Day in a dark place? Because I know that there are people sitting in this room that have spent at least one Christmas Day in a dark place. Just from this spot, 4.6 miles to the north of us, is Blank Children's Hospital. On the fifth floor, there is the Cancer and Blood Disorders Unit. And the walls in that unit are painted beautifully, brilliantly bright and happy. But I can assure you, for the people staying there tonight and tomorrow, it is really a dark place. We have men and women all around the world who are in potential battle zones right now. Maybe you have actually spent a Christmas Day in a battle zone. Maybe you spent Christmas Day before in the past in a nursing home with someone who didn't even remember you. Maybe you have spent Christmas Day in an empty house. Maybe you have spent Christmas Day in a rehab center. Maybe in a waiting room. And if there is a chance that you will spend tomorrow in a dark place, what you don't want is a merry little Christmas. You want a cosmic Christmas. You want an understanding of Christmas that actually sheds light on the darkness. So this Christmas, instead of looking to the accounts of Matthew and Luke and seeing Christmas from Earth's perspective, we have gone to Revelation chapter 12 and looked at Christmas the way that the angels saw it. We have been looking at heaven's perspective, and we notice there is a dragon out there. And what we know is the dragon wasn't just there at the first Christmas. The dragon has been lurking around every Christmas since. But I'm about to share with you some cosmic good news. You see, Revelation reminds us that we are participants in a huge story taking place in our cosmos. And we are not the main characters in the story. The main characters are a lamb and a dragon. And they've been in conflict, and the dragon was hurled out of heaven. And now he is among us. The earth is dragon territory. And when we see Revelation and Christmas from that perspective, we realize that all of the pain, all of the hurt, all of the evil, all of the darkness in our world is because the dragon is still lurking around. But the God of heaven has not abandoned his children here on earth. The scripture says, "For God so loved the world." And the Greek word there is literally cosmos. "For God so loved the cosmos that he sent his one and only Son." And John, who penned those words, illuminates even further in his first letter when he says this: "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." The reason for the season appeared for a reason. He came to slay the dragon. He came to destroy the work that the dragon has been doing here on earth. And that is a huge declaration. In Christmas, we see that God is telling us sin will not win. Bethlehem was no last second brainstorm of God. As soon as the tempter seduced that first couple, as soon as sin entered into the creation, as soon as God's creation was corrupted, God announced to the serpent that through the seed of the woman, he was going to send a deliverer. He said in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. This deliverer is going to come and destroy the devil's work. And in the uterus of a Jewish virgin girl, God sent the one that was going to fulfill that promise from Genesis 3. That's why we need to see Christmas not just from earth's perspective, but from heaven's perspective. You got to realize John is on Patmos. He is in exile. The church is being persecuted. And John knows people by name who have been killed because of their faith. And John gets a vision. And John sees behind the curtain. He sees this big story, what's going on actually in the unseen realm. He sees the lamb and the dragon and how they're in conflict. And the Spirit says to John, John, the church needs strength and hope and encouragement right now. So share with them what we have shown you. Because this world is still a dark place. But Christmas has shed light on what is and on what will be. Sin will not win. The victory of Jesus is truly cosmic. And I want to show you just how big it is. Here's the first big idea. Because of his victory, forgiven is a given. You remember in Revelation chapter 12, they sang a song in heaven when the dragon was cast down. The angels gave the dragon a title. Do you remember what they called him? The accuser. The one who accuses his brothers and sisters, or the brothers and sisters, both day and night before God. Satan is quick to bring up the subject of your sins to anyone who will listen. The good news is that God doesn't listen anymore. He has been hurled out of the courtroom of God because of the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, by his sacrifice, has silenced the legitimacy of Satan's charges against us. Look at verse 5 of Revelation 1. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins. By his blood. God doesn't listen to Satan's accusations anymore. But here's the truth. You and I do. We listen. Why does he accuse us? If his charges are no longer legitimate, why do we even give him the time of day? Well, he knows he cannot steal your salvation. That has been sealed by the blood of Jesus. But he also knows that he can steal the joy and the assurance of your salvation. This past week, I received an email. I get a lot of emails, sometimes good, sometimes bad. But here's what this email said. They said, please pray for my salvation. I'm afraid that God is leaving me. I have a hard time trusting and letting go and not trying to earn it. I am scared. Put their first name on the email. I do not know this individual. I've never met them. They didn't give me a phone number. The only thing I could do was respond via email. I did that. But I don't normally do this, but I'm going to take advantage of this public forum to speak to this person. And I'm going to call this person Avery. Because I think almost Avery Christian struggles with these kinds of things. So Avery, for the next few moments, If you're listening, if you're watching, I want you to listen to me. You mentioned trying to earn it. You will never find peace believing that you have to pay for your sins. The good news is that Jesus has fully paid for your sins. The angel said to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. You see, when God spoke to that serpent and said that one is going to come that is going to crush you, the only way he could crush the dragon was to solve the sin problem. This is why Jesus had to come as a man, not half God, half man, fully God, fully man, which means that Jesus was tempted in every way, just like you and just like me. He has felt the pull of sin just as strongly as you ever have. But Satan was never able to get Jesus to be out of alignment with the will of God even one single time. He cannot lay a single accusation against Jesus that is legitimate. Jesus never violated the will of God. This is why he could go to a cross and he could offer his perfect righteousness in exchange for the judgment that you deserved. Do you know, Jesus said right before Christmas, listen to what the Hebrew writer said. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Avery, listen to those last three words. Once for all. It's done. It's paid for. When Jesus was on the cross, his last words were not, it is almost finished. He completed the mission that he set out to do. He solved the sin problem. And that means for anyone that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, forgiven is a given. Listen to me, Avery. God will not haunt you with the memory of a sin that he has erased. And so you must learn to listen to his voice and not the accusations of the dragon. I'm reminded of the story of the seminary student writing an essay about confession. And in his essay, he had this line, when we confess our sins, he removes our guilt. But he had a typo. And instead of hitting G, he hit Q. So it read, he removes our quilt. He was amused when he got his paper back from his professor. In red ink in the margin of his essay, the professor wrote, do not fear, little one. For he has given us another comforter. And at your salvation, God sent his Holy Spirit to live inside of you, to be that voice that says, Abba, Father, to seal your salvation. And Avery, you must learn to listen to the comforting voice of the Spirit and not the condemning voice of the dragon. Now, I know all around the cosmos, we still see the fallout of sin, but sin will not win. And that includes victory over the greatest fallout of all. Because when the Lamb conquered the dragon, death is on its deathbed. Think about it. It doesn't matter what else Jesus did. If death still wins, Jesus lost. His birth is irrelevant unless he can render death impotent. And this is what makes Jesus the king, because he is the only ruler who has ever lived that death could not hold. Listen to what Jesus says about himself at the start of the revelation in Revelation 1 verses 17 and 18. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Jesus said that about himself. How cosmic is that? I died, I conquered death, I now control death. And if Jesus controls death, then the dragon's capacity to control us through the fear of death is undone. A Lutheran pastor was arrested by the Gestapo in World War II. He was tortured in prison. He was compelled to recant, and he refused. His captor was frustrated and said to him, "Don't you know I can kill you?" And the pastor replied, "You can do what you must, but I have already died." And this is what frustrates the dragon. He has been trying for 2,000 years to kill Christians, and the places where he kills Christians, the church grows the fastest. Because if your biggest trump card is, "I can kill you," but my trump card is, "I will rise from the dead," who's got the bigger trump card? Jesus said in John 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus' birth was fatal to death. And some of us need to remember that this Christmas. For some of you, this Christmas is darker than other Christmases. Because someone's gone that was supposed to be there. Outwardly, we waste away. The point is, before someone dies, if they have already died and been baptized into Christ Jesus, the dragon has no claim on them. The birth of Jesus was fatal to death. Charles Wesley was so right when he wrote the words, "Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth." Right now, this world is a dark place, and every day is a reminder that we are filled with loss and hurt and pain. But Christian, we are headed for a future from under the shadow of death. As a matter of fact, the whole cosmos is. You see, the thing that's the biggest about Jesus' victory over the dragon is all creation is due for new. I remind you that our Bibles do not start in Genesis 3 with fall and sin and curse and death. Our Bibles start in Genesis 1 with a beautiful cosmos, a good creation, and a perfect creator. This world is not always, it was not always a dark place. And the most cosmic part of Jesus' victory is going to be the reverse of the curse. Every 4 to 8 years, something amazing happens at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. The president that is leaving office walks out of the White House for the last time, and everything looks exactly like it did the entire time he lived there. And then the crew in charge of transition goes to work. And in less than 5 hours, everything he has will be packed up and moved. And everything the new president wants will be brought in. His clothes will be hung up in his closet. Pictures that he wants will be hung on the wall before he gets there. When he arrives, his toothbrush will be by the sink, just where he wants it. The old has gone. The new has come. Now listen, on a much greater and much more important scale, this is what Jesus is going to do to the entire cosmos when he returns, and it won't take him 5 hours to do it. This is what Peter alludes to in Acts chapter 3. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Peter's not talking about the end of the world. He's talking about the beginning of the world as it was always intended to be. You see, Christmas declares that God will get the world he always wanted. Sin will not win. The dragon will not succeed in marring one single molecule of God's cosmos. Anything and everything marred will be restored, and everything that has breath will declare Jesus is Lord. That's why we sing those words. He came to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Do you understand just how cosmic the victory of Jesus is? He is going to thoroughly and completely destroy the work of the devil. God isn't going to give up on earth and just bring us all up to heaven. God is going to bring heaven to earth. So notice how the book of Revelation ends. In Revelation 21, beginning in the first verse, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. So why did Jesus come? Big answer. He came so that the cosmos that God wanted can come. And it helps us deal with the darkness in the present when we allow Christmas to be big enough to shed light on our future. Because right now, the dragon still prowls, and the curse still exists, and this world can be a dark place. Sometimes even on Christmas, and we know that Christmas is the start of something big. What was inaugurated at his first coming will be consummated at his second coming. Gives us hope and resilience, even joy while we wait, even if we have to wait in the dark. Sometimes it's hard to see what's really happening, but we know God is at work. And we know that this grand story that we are a part of is going to have a truly cosmic ending. And that reminds me of Brenda Schmitz. She was married to Dave. They had a family, and they actually lived right here in Des Moines. Life was good until Brenda started feeling not so good. She was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And in 2011... she left her husband and children behind at the much too young age of 46. 2 years later, Dave met Jane. They planned to marry. It was Christmas time. One of our local stations here in town, Star 102.5 KSTZ, every year would have people send in letters to the station with Christmas wishes. And every year they would choose someone and they would grant a Christmas wish. The station called Dave and Jane and asked them to come down to the station. Well, they thought it was very strange because they never wrote a letter. They were undone when they got there and the radio broadcaster read to them in tears the letter that Brenda had written just 1 month before she died. She believed that Dave would most likely remarry. And she wrote this letter and gave it to a close friend and said to her, this Christmas, the Christmas before he gets married, please send this note in to the station for me. And in that letter, Brenda blessed the woman that she didn't even know to be the stepmother of her children and the wife of her husband. And she asked the station for three things. Would you give my husband's new bride a total package and treatment at a local spa before their wedding? And would you give this new family a vacation? And would you give all of the doctors and nurses on the 8th floor of Mercy Hospital who took care of me a night on the town? And all three requests were granted. You see, Dave and Jane didn't know that there was a story going on behind their story that they were living out. A good story. A beautiful story. It just had to be revealed. And it was. Someday, all created things are going to receive a revelation of Jesus Christ. And the only reminder of sin is going to be the scars on the hands of the one who wants to embrace you. And so listen to how the book of Revelation closes. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." And John adds, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Is there anybody listening to me this morning that's ready for Jesus to come? If so, you need to have yourself a merry cosmic Christmas. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And when I pray, there will be candles on the communion tables. I want you to go and partake in communion. And you'll have a candle underneath your seat. Take that with you to take communion. And then light the candle at the communion stations that will be lit. Okay, my wife's nodding. So then come back to your place. Hold your candle. If you've got kids, make sure they don't burn the church down or themselves down. And then we're going to sing Silent Night together once everybody has gone through. But right now, let's pray together. Thank you, God, for not giving up on your creation. Thank you for not turning your back on your children. Thank you for sending Jesus, the only one that could slay the dragon. Grant us more confidence in our salvation. Grant us more resilience in the face of death. And grant us more hope in his soon return. Help us to live better lives because we know we are part of a bigger story. And Jesus, please come soon. We're ready. In your name, amen.